Okay, so let's look at Exodus chapter 33. What was a wonderful thing about this is when Pastor was asked to minister, he asked me to minister, which means I asked Miss Averill to minister. So it was kind of like this domino effect. So she had to minister and lead the songs for this morning. So she chose those. And her last song, I Love Your Presence, she didn't even know what I was preaching on. And the name of today's message is If Your Presence. That's the name of today. So we're talking about the presence of God. But the name of the message is If Your Presence. So we're in Exodus chapter 33. And the main character, if you will, but really a real person in Exodus is Moses, right? So you know, for 32 chapters leading up to this chapter here, he has done a lot. First of all, he was saved as an infant, right? And then raised and you know, into this great big leader. And then that God calls on him through these chapters from 1 all the way to 32 to like lead the people of God, the Israelites, out of Egypt because they were in bondage. Anybody remember some of these stories from way back when, right? I mean, we've got so many things going on. We've got the plagues that happened. We've got the Red Sea that was parted. We even have the Ten Commandments that were given. So all of this has gone on all before chapter 33. And actually, in chapter 32, Moses was sent up. They were all kind of hanging out. They haven't gone into the promised land, which is what God had promised his people. Take them out of slavery, take them out of bondage, and lead them into the promised land. Yes? But all through this journey, they're kind of hanging out now around Mount Sinai. So they're here for like an extended period of time. They've been given manna. They've been given quail. All kinds of things have happened. Just read chapters 1 through 32. When you get to chapter 32, Moses is up on the top of the mountain. He's getting what we all call the Ten Commandments. We would think, look, if Pastor Doug was sent up to the top of Captain Merritt's Hill here in Mount Kisco to go get something from God, and we were told, wait here at 27 Radius Circle Drive, you'd think, no problem. He's going to take the car, just go up, he'll be right back. Well, Moses was up on that mountain for 40 days. So what if you and I were just standing here completely unprepared for 40 days? You're missing work, you're hungry, and we're just hanging out for 40 days because we were told by God, Pastor's going to top of Captain Merritt's Hill over here in Mount Kisco. He'll be right back. God's got something to tell him. We're like, yay, God's going to tell our pastor something. And like day one and two, and then someone's like, you know, like, I got to go. I got to go feed the dog, right? I got to go. I got to go shopping. How am I going to pay my bills? And the first week goes by. We're talking 40 days, kind of like over a month. Something like right now, October 17th, us hanging out here from now until like after Thanksgiving. Just here, just like hanging out. And we don't have cell phone signal. We can't call, I can't call him, I can't text him. Excuse me, church. Hey, babe, where are you? Boop. People getting restless, right? Can't do that. No way to contact him. Just trusting God's going to tell our pastor something so we have direction when he comes back. That's kind of like what happened. Wow. So what happened was in chapter 32, they got a little impatient. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what? I bet you he died. I think he could have kicked the bucket. I think he's out of here. You know, good guy. Remember him? He's a nice guy. Something about a cistern and a little basket floating, you know, some big water that like, you know, kind of went up like, well, nice. Accomplished a lot of good things. But we got a problem, guys. We need someone to worship. So they got restless. And in chapter 32, they created out of gold, like with their jewelry and so forth, they created this idol. Mm. Now over on Mount Sinai for 40 days, God is like telling Moses, who's like chomping on these stones, don't worship idols. Now they're down here going, so we need something, you know, to pass the time. So why don't we just get busy? And they create this cow. So 40 days goes by, chapter 32, Moses comes down, he's like, I've got the message. And he looks and it's like these people are worshiping this cow. He gets upset. God is upset. They've sinned against God. They were impatient, blah, blah, and blah. And now we're in chapter 33. So that's where we are. Okay, so that's like the condensed version. So in chapter 33, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land, we know this phrase, flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments. Like, they're like, we're not getting dressed up for church today. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Oreb. So, okay, so God's upset. Remember, this is Old Testament before Jesus. But the point is, the people of Israel had sinned against God. Now, God didn't say he was going to consume them and smite them and kill them all. He said, I could in just one moment. But he's like, just take off your ornaments, which was like a sign of just like, you know, them being his people and adorned in him. And just take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you. So he's upset. Moses is upset. Moses is the middle guy, right? And he's going, okay. And he looks at them. He's like, guys, you're a bunch of stiff-necks. And he's like, what are you doing? Now look at what we're into here. Take off your jewelry. Take off your ornaments. God's got to figure out what he's going to do with us, thanks to you, right, is possibly what he's thinking. And so there's this period of time between verse 6 and verse 7 of what happens. And so this is what they do. So Moses, verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. This was not the tabernacle that you and I know that is built later on in this book, okay? This is like sort of a portable tabernacle, if you will. And it's away from the chaos. It's away from the people. It's the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. Verse 8, so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man at his tent stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. So everybody's got his family tent, and they watch Moses, and he's going to go out, and he's going to go seek the Lord. And when he did, they did. When he went out to go seek the Lord, they stood at each, it says, each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, verse 9, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. This is good news. This is good news. Verses 1 through 6, it's like the Lord's like, I could consume you all in like just like a half of a moment. But he's like, I'm gonna talk to Moses on your behalf. I'm going to talk to him and let Moses talk with me. So verse 9, so there he is, he's, and the Lord's talking to him. Verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. They're not spectators, they're participants. They're doing this with Moses, each at his own door. This is a great picture for us as a church moving into the season of harvest, which is what the Holy Spirit's been ministering to us. It's like, folks, if you haven't gotten this kind of like resonated or woken up on the inside of you, it's not up to Pastor Doug to get the harvest alone. It's just not. If you think it's him or me or Miss Averill or the leaders, so on and so forth, or just let the youth do it because they're good with puppets and they can bend up and down really fast versus me, that's not the way it works, right? If everybody here, it was like, look, we are a people. And when we need to hear from God, we're all going to participate. Every man at his own tent door When Moses stood up, they did. When he's praying, they are. When he's worshiping, they are. And they've got this great sign of the cloud. So they've got the like the little bell going, go, it's time to worship. Kind of like we do when we have the start of Westchester Family Church, right? There's a countdown. There's a first song. It's sort of like the, okay, that means everybody's going to worship together, right? And we all come together. And that's what you do when you're here on a Sunday morning. But remember, on Monday, when pastor's praying about the church, each one of us is supposed to be at our tent door praying about the church. Amen. And on Tuesday, when he's praying for the church and about that harvest party coming up 2 weeks from now, which right now in 2 weeks, we'll be going, God bless you, you're dismissed. Go get your car lifted up because the people are coming. Then tomorrow, on Tuesday, when he's praying about that, we're praying about that. Because we're part of the same church. We've got the body of Christ at large, at whole, universal. But then we've got our assignment. I'm here. I have an assignment at Westchester Family Church to be here. So if pastor's going to pray about the harvest party, I'm going to stand at my tent door and pray. If Miss Avril's going to lead us in worship, I'm going to be worshiping with her. I'm not going to be just sitting back and watching and hoping that someone does something like that kind of speaks to me, right? It's going to be more like, look, I'm doing this because I'm part, right? So amen. So this is where they're at. So the Lord, verse 11 says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Whoa. That was Old Testament. We have Jesus who sticks closer than a brother. That's what we're promised. We have Jesus in the New Testament. We're in the New Testament. We're not living in the Moses days, but we pull from this history, this biblical factual history. This is not a story that was so cute when you were five in Sunday school. This is like Moses is part of our heritage. Moses is one of our spiritual ancestors where we go, what did our father Moses, you see what I mean by father, I'm not talking spiritual heavenly, but I'm saying like our ancestor, what did our brother Moses way back then do? What did the people of God back then do? What can I bring into me now, knowing I have Jesus, knowing I have the Holy Spirit? How do I interact with the history that is part of who I am? It's not just a, like, cut out a story and hand it to you and to you and go, isn't that nice? And isn't it? It's like, no, this is our lineage. This is our spiritual genes. This is our genetic makeup, our spiritual DNA. This is who we are. Moses is in my DNA. Moses is in your DNA. And he knew that when things were getting rocky and sin was kind of getting goofy, he knew what to do. He went to the Father and spoke on behalf of the ones around him who were getting goofy. How about you and I? Instead of getting upset, we did get upset. I mean, kind of broke those tablets, right? But, so, okay, if you break something, just bring it to the Lord and sweep up, throw it in the trash. But the point is if there's things that are crazy around you, with the people around you, then just go, you know what? In my heart, I'm going to separate myself for a moment here. I'm going to go up to the tabernacle of meeting and I'm going to get in the presence of the Lord and I'm going to seek God and we're going to get an answer. There is a God answer for everything. For everything. There is a God answer of how we're going to get 100 kids to walk on that concrete in 2 weeks. There's a God answer. In the natural, we have a few pieces of the answer. Well, we could play the ukulele. That's nice. Well, we could do puppets. That's good. Well, we could have candy. That helps. Well, we could do that. That's great. But there's a God answer. He gives us those natural ways. We start working through the ukuleles, working through the puppets, figuring out how we're going to decorate our car, right? Because we're part of the harvest, because we're all part of a group. But then there's this God answer that's got to come. We've got all the natural things. Moses can walk up the mountain knowing he's got to go up there to get some work. But if he doesn't get up there and hang out with God, He's not going to get the God answer. That's what we're doing. We're walking in the natural, doing what we know to do and being obedient. We got to now, for the next 14 days, get the God answer for the harvest party. Our pastor's been teaching us about harvest hands and harvest eyes, the compassion motivator on the inside, like Jesus demonstrated. Go back and listen to the last 2 weeks of his messages. We've got an assignment. And we've got to get the God answer. So now he's up there. The people of God, they're at their tent. And they see the presence of God, which that pillar of cloud represented. And they in verse 11, says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And guess what? As a New Testament believer, he speaks to you through his Holy Spirit and through the word of God.
Yes.
If you're like, I need Jesus to speak to me, and you start looking for a cloud, okay, maybe you might be that unique person here in 2021 at Radio Circle Drive who actually gets the cloud and you see it and you're like, that's great. Anybody see the cloud this morning other than the natural cloud, right? Don't go there, Silvio. He'd be like, I saw the clouds, right? Knowing Silvio, it's like, there's one, two, Silvio, sorry. He's my brother. He's always my good laugh for the day, right? If you're ever down, just call Silvio and say, Silvio, I need a dad joke. And he'll cheer you up. I'm serious. You cannot be upset around Silvio. He's like God. You just can't be upset around him, right? So anyway, so the pillar of cloud comes out. I didn't see a pillar of cloud today when I was praying. I didn't see the natural pillar of cloud. But the presence of God, oh, I knew that was there. Oh, I knew he was here. I know he's here. I could sense it in the very atmosphere. I may not have seen the pillar cloud, but the Spirit of the Lord is here to heal, to touch, and to give us direction. So this is an Old Testament part of our lineage. We bring it into now, and we go, okay. So here we are. So then it says, he spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend. We're still in verse 11. And he would return, that's Moses, to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Remember, they haven't gone to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, they're not there. They've got that promise. Okay, so try not to read on for those of you who love to read on. Remember, verses 1 through 6. What happened? Verses 1 through 6. Just going back. You can look back there if you need to. Looking at verses 1 through 6, God is saying, you guys messed up. He's saying, you guys sinned. I could kick y'all out in just like 20 seconds. And he did say that. But what else did he say, verses 1 through 6? He was like, basically saying, I made you a promise and I'm not going to break it. He did. He said in chapter 33, verse 1, he told Moses, depart and go up from here. He's telling him, go, just go. Just go to the land of milk and honey. Just go. And he said, you and the people whom you've brought out of the land to the land of... He says that in verse 2. He gives them protection. He's like, look, I'll give you my angel. So I'm not going to back off of my promise, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to change his promise no matter what you do. Ha! Well, I sin too much. His promise doesn't change. His promise doesn't change. We might change. His promise doesn't change. So he's demonstrating that when he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Regardless of, yeah, but they said, he still made a promise, right? And he's saying that here. He says, look, I'll even send my angel before you, and I'll even help you overcome. And he lists all of those groups of people, the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, and so forth, right? And he says, just go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, but the one thing that's not going to happen is I'm not going to go with you. Didn't he say that in verse 3? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm just not going to go, because if I do right now, I'm just going to consume you all. Right? So that's where they're at. Now, that's kind of like a bargain. That's kind of like, look, you messed up so much, but you know what? I'm going to keep to my promise. I'm going to still protect you and give you my angel as your guide, and you can just go. And maybe some believers might have been like, that's not a bad deal. We could do that. It's sort of like, you know, and they might have, we might settle for that because we feel we've messed up too much. We've sinned too great. We've been too unfaithful. We haven't measured up to what we know we should be or was supposed to be. But God's saying, you know, here's it's not like he was making a deal, but this is just a demonstration of him saying, look, I'm so true to who I am. I am such a faithful God. When I say something, I'm going to do it. That even though you messed up so bad, I would still fulfill that promise for you and through you and find a way to help you obtain that. That's what he's saying. Remember, that was the whole thing. Take the Israelites out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land, right? And we're sometimes in that journey. I'm not good enough to really get it. But God's saying, I didn't change my mind about what I promised. So that's what he's saying there. Those six verses are very significant. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you have not let me know whom you will send with me. So now he's kind of talking to God, like, well, all right, look, if I really go, who's coming? And like I just got to know. Is it like a couple people, the wife, the kids only, right? The mother-in-law, you know, I'm like, who's coming? Who's coming? We got to know these things. And so he says, all right. So Moses says to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people. Like, okay, so go to the land of milk and flowing with milk and honey. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. So Moses is telling God what God told Moses. I know you, Moses, and you have found grace or favor in my sight. So continuing in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray. This is Moses talking, right? He says, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. How many of us have prayed that way? Lord, if I'm really your kid, show me now your way. What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to do this? Right? And this is what he's saying. If I have found grace in your sight, this is Moses talking to the Lord like friends talk one to another. Sidestep, make sure you speak nicely to your friends. It's supposed to mirror the way you and God talk. Say that one more time. Here, 2021, make sure you're speaking nicely to your friends. It's supposed to be an example or a mirror or a way for someone who doesn't know Christ to see you, how you talk to your friends, and then it makes them go, that's how I want God and I need to talk to each other. So young people here, talk nice at school. Talk nice when you're in front of your friends. Talk nicely to your parents. I've seen kids, and they don't speak nice to their parents because we get that like kind of embarrassing thing, you know, like, oh, dad, oh, mom, you know, like, but speak nice. And us as adults, how about our young people here in church? If they hear Miss Averill and me and we're speaking kindly to each other and very sweetly and very purposefully as friends, it's going to make our young people who are 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 go, when I'm an adult, I'm going to church because I want a friendship like that. Yes. That's just a sidestep. That one was free, as Pastor says. Uh-huh. That was the free version. But I love that phrase. Okay, so he says in verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. He's talking to the Lord about not just himself and the relationship he has and reminding the Lord who he is in his relationship with his heavenly Father, but he's also talking about the people of God. How about us? We can do that because of our relationship with Jesus. Amen. We can say, Lord, you've said this about me. I am who I am in Christ, right? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And we can say those things to the Lord. I love to talk to God and tell God what he told me. I love that. That's like talking about, like talking to a friend. God, you said in your word, I read that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I actually tell him stuff like that. I don't just walk around. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't just do that. I literally go, God, you said that I could actually do all things. And here's something that I need to do. Right? And I can do this through Christ. And I tell God what he tells me. That's what Moses is doing. But then I have this right as a child of God, because Jesus is in between me and God, interceding on my behalf. I can talk to God about my loved ones. I can talk to God about the people in Mount Kisco coming, the 100 kids coming in 2 weeks. I can talk to God because I've got Jesus as my mediator. And if I'm talking to God and he sees me through Jesus, flawless and righteous, and he's like, I'm going to answer Christine's prayer. I can hear what she's saying. I know how to help her. I've got the God answer for her. That's what Moses is. This is important. Remember, Old Testament stories are examples of what New Testament, which is where we live today. So the Old Testament story is Moses is a type or an example of Christ. He's not Christ, but he's the example, right? And he's in the middle of the people and God. And he's saying, I have found favor in your sight, Lord. But now don't forget, these are your people. This is your nation. And he says, consider that this nation is your people. How many times have you done that? You're praying about someone in your family who needs to come back to Christ. And you're like, Lord, I need you to remember that's your child. That's your child. That's your daughter. That's your son. Have you ever done that? And you are like in the middle interceding for that person until they come into the knowledge of Christ. Amen. So we can do that. We can talk to God. He talks to us like he's a friend. He's got an answer for us. And we can talk to him and we can tell him what he says about us. Praise the Lord. That's what Moses did. And we can tell him and remind him that these people are his. Praise the Lord. So when I'm praying about the harvest party, I'm like, Lord, there are people who are going to come to know you. They are yours. You made those people. They are here in Mount Kisco. Those parents are going to be alerted to those flyers. They're going to supernaturally come across the information beyond what we know to do because they're yours. And we're asking God for that harvest. Amen. Okay. So he says that. Then verse 14, God answers him, and God says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That's huge. That's huge. I mean, God, like Moses is warming up here going, so we've got this thing about you knowing me, and I know you, and you know my name is Moses, and you gave that to me, and, you know, we're doing the name thing, right? Like Moses is building up, right? God's just like, anytime you want to stop talking, right? And God's just waiting patiently. And Moses is like, so we've got this thing going on. We're talking like a friend. And this is our name. And I know, by the way, all these people are your people, just in case you forgot. This is your nation. And I love it. This is your people, not Moses's people. You ever do that? Have you ever said that? I do that with my husband. That's your daughter. That's your kid. That's your son. And he's like, honey, that's ours. I'm like, in this moment, that's your child. So, have you ever done that? So that's what Moses is doing. He's like, that's your people, right? Not like, well, this is our people. No, that's what happened. But then, so Moses is going on and on, talking to the Lord, and like, God lets him finish, and God goes, okay. He's like, my presence will go with you. Like, all right, whoa, that seems pretty easy. I mean, verses 1-6, God's like, look, take the jewelry off, okay? Enough with the pretty jewelry thing, right? Stop adorning yourselves. I got to figure out if I'm going to just whoosh or not with you, right? I mean, he's like, look, all right, just take the jewelry off, get going, go get the milk and the honey and all the land that I promised you, because that's who I am. Just go with my angel, just conquer all those big bad people. And then they have this heart-to-heart conversation. And God goes, okay, my presence will go with you. And, because God always does, exceedingly above all that we ask or imagine, and I will give you rest. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. The definition of rest, right? The definition of rest, I had it somewhere here, is da-da-da-da. Is to be quieted, to be settled, to be secure. wow, God's like, okay, I'll go with you. We're talking about leaving and going to the promised land, going and getting that promise that he never changed his mind he was going to give, right? God, remember that. He never said, I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to fulfill. He never said that. He said, okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to get that promise. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you rest. I'll make you secure. I'll make you quiet on the inside. I'll make you calm and peaceful as we go. Wow. I mean, if you heard that, and if I heard that in our time of prayer, we'd be like, thank you. Thank you so much. We'd be like, praise the name of the Lord. You're with me. You're with me. Okay, so something happened. Moses had a moment of not hearing that because verse 15 came. So verse 14, God's like, all right, I'm going to go. Verse 15, Moses is like, this is my favorite verse. This is why it's the message is called If Your Presence. It says, then he, that's Moses, said to him, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. He's like, let's just lock this in, God. Just, you know, I know you just said something about going with us. You did say, all right, I'll go with you. Right? You ever have a friend say, okay, I'll come to the mall with you. Right? And you're just like, okay, great. But sometimes you've been like, now, are you sure you're coming? You sure gonna be there? You gotta be there at 5, okay? Right? That's kind of what he's doing. God sure. Almighty, the I am that I am. I mean, God is talking to Moses and goes, okay, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. And Moses is like, if your presence, mm-hmm. like we're to make sure we're clear here, right? Like, let's just make sure we've got clarity in this conversation, Lord. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up here. What he's saying is, God said, I'm going to stick to my promise, verses 1-6, even though you've messed up big time. He's like, I haven't changed my mind on that. I'll give you an angel. I'll give you protection. I'll give you victory over all these big, bad people, right? He's saying all that. Now, in verse 14, God says, okay, and I'll go with you. Hallelujah. So he's done all of it. He's given everything.
Yes.
Absolutely everything. For 6 verses, he's going, I'm going to let my promise go through, but I'm just not going to go with you. But I'll give you everything else of mine. The promise, the stuff, the angel, the army badges, all the victories, right? I mean, you're going to get to the promised land and you're going to be prosperous and victorious. The only thing is I'm not going to be there. That's what he said. And Moses is like, okay. And so Moses is praying and they're talking. And then God goes, because Moses spoke to God and had this relationship and knew God, God said, okay, I'll go with you. So I'm going to give you everything I said, plus I'm going to be there. Wow. And Moses goes, just to make sure we're clear, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up for here. Moses is saying, we're not going to go. This is where I'm trying to get at.
Hallelujah.
He's like, I love your promises. I love standing on that promise, God. You said you're going to do it, and we believe you. But I'd rather have you than the stuff. That's really what he's saying. He's like, don't bring us up. That's what he says. Do not bring us up from here. In other words, don't let us go and start traveling to get to that promised land. Because if your presence is not going to be with us, we'd rather not go at all. Do you grasp this?
Yes, yes.
What we're saying is, we are well taught on obtaining the promises of God. He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. And that is true. It's in God's word, and I've got it. Amen. That's true. But we've got to remember that when you get the victory, when you get that healing, when the bill is paid, I mean, we go, yes, God answered his word. He answered. And all of that's true and all of that's great. But we've got to say inside, if you don't go with us, I'd rather not have it at all. Like, this is like the heart check. I'm not saying it's one or the other, because God here in chapter 33 is not saying that. He's saying it's all of it. He's saying it's the promise and my presence. But what I'm showcasing is Moses's heart. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not telling you pick the promise or the I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look at Moses's heart. What Moses is saying is, that's so amazing that you would give that to us and do all of that for us. But if your presence is not with us, I'd rather stay right here. Where was he in that moment when he says that? Where is he? In the presence of God, talking to God, communing with God, as a man speaks to a friend. And what he's saying is, I'd rather stay here than to go get all those wonderful things that you promised us. That's what Moses's heart is. So how about us? Yeah, I want there to be success, if you will. I want the town. I do. I want this town, Mount Kisco, to know we're here. Absolutely, I do. I do. I want our name to be so important in this town. Pastor and I want this ministry to be so important that if the rapture came and we weren't here, it would be noticed.
Amen.
Like, what happened? Mount Kisco will never be the same now. That's how important it is. That's why we're still here 19 and a half years later, with all the seasons and the ebbs and flows and the ups and the downs. Because God's assignment is, there's still something to accomplish in this county. And we're part of that assignment. And we want that. Pastor and I want that. That's why we keep doing what we're doing with you, and why you keep coming and serving and believing with us. But if we get to that harvest party and 100 kids walk through, we could say, yay, that's great. But if the presence of God is not with us, I'd rather sit right here. I would. But the great thing is we don't have to choose. We don't have to stay right here and go, well, then I guess we'll just stay. That's what some of our, that's where our heads go sometimes. Well, I guess I'm not good enough, so I guess I'll just stay here and just hang out with God's presence instead of going and getting the harvest. God's like, no, you're going to get it all. Just check your heart along the way. That's what he's saying. Just check your heart along the way. He's saying, just check your heart along the way. He's like, don't lose sight of the promised land. Don't think that milk and honey land doesn't exist. He's telling us today, don't think it's impossible for 100 children to put their little sweet feet on that parking lot. And if you can't believe us with that, then just go like this and let us pull you. Because there's a couple of us here that are like, Lord, I'm not sure how to do that. We're doing everything we know. But in 14 days, Lord, you've got to bring 100 kids there. Anybody gonna agree with us on this for real? If you can't, it's okay. Don't be in condemnation. But at least if you can't pull us on the 100, that's 200 little feet running around. This place is too quiet. It's boring. And we need crying babies and people looking for changing tables and pacifiers and sippy cups spilling milk on the floor. We need people with strollers bumping into your legs.
Come on.
Okay? Amen. We need you to move your chair so their strollers can fit in, because they've got triplets. Whatever. All right? I mean, we need little feet. We need little feet to help get the gospel, to bring it on when we're not here. Huh? Right? I don't know how he's going to bring 100 kids. I really don't. In the natural, it's kind of like, that's interesting. Right? Because what I see is not 100 kids, but what I see is 100 kids.
Amen.
What I see is 100 kids sitting there and looking like they're half listening to a puppet show, but the word of God going into that little one. Watching the ukulele going back and forth and going, and the Holy Ghost going, I've got a calling on you. You're going to be a musician for me one day. Parents, I want somebody to come stoned with their kids, and the kids get a hold of God and turn the parents around.
Yes.
I'm serious.
Glory.
I'm serious. I'm serious. We can handle it. You mean somebody would be high with their kids? Yeah. We can handle it. You and we can handle this. We've got this because we've got his promise that he's going to give us what he told us. And we've got his presence with us. And we are going to stay in this heart of his presence to be with us, so that if we move, we're going to go like this. We're not just going to go like this and go, you with us, Lord? We're going to go like this. We're going to go, because we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go get the harvest. Pastor's been telling us, harvest time is seasonal. Anybody remember Pastor talking about the apple trees? We walked up and down the rows of the orchard. Remember that? Yeah. And he said, he just started looking at all these apples and thought, wow. And we just kept walking right past him, and we'd pick one or get this one, or Abigail would get this one, and all these other ones were there. And he said, but if we go back to that same row in December, there'll be nothing. It's seasonal. Harvest is always seasonal. The beautiful thing is harvest typically comes again and again and again, right? At just the right time. But this is the particular harvest that is our assignment. Well, there'll be next harvest. Yeah, I know. But this is the one. This one is the one. So our next assignment is the harvest party, right?
Yes.
We did Septemberfest. That was the assignment. That was that harvest.
Yes.
Now we're in this harvest. And harvest day will come, and the harvest party will go. And then we'll be on to the next one. But right now, this is the season.
Yes.
And we're going to go. We're not going to go like this. We're doing the harvest party, right, God? We're not going to do that. According to here, if your presence does not go with us, then do not move, bring us up from here. We're going to go like this. We know what to do, right? We know it's the harvest party, right? We know that. Do we know that?
Yeah.
The assignment is the harvest party. Anybody?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. We know what the assignment is. We're not going, is it or isn't it? Is it or isn't it? Mm-mm. It is. This is the assignment. This is the next harvest. What we're doing is not going, it's harvest time. Right, Lord? We're going like this. We're going, we know what the assignment is, but we're going, if you're not with us, we're not going. That's where we are. This is where we are right now for 14 days.
Yeah.
Ah, isn't that fun? So you're like, what am I supposed to do for the next 14 days? This is us right here. We're right here. We're preparing for the harvest, but we know we're not moving unless his presence is with us. Do you see that? Do you see that? Right? Not here. Do you see it? Do you see it? So we're like, okay, the harvest. What does that mean? I need a bag of candy. I got to figure something out. I have no idea what she's talking about, decorating a trunk. I'm going to talk to Avril. She's got an idea. I know Miss Iris has lots of crafts in her house all the time. She's going to bring a streamer and a balloon or something like that, right? Right? And I have no idea. I have never played a ukulele. I'm just going to hold one. I'm just going to do that. I know what my assignment is. I know what it is. Because I'm here. This is the church God has me in right now. So I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm 100 years old, but I know I'm supposed to show up. Because
yeah.
Somebody said something about 100 kids, 200 feet. I don't get it. Oh, yeah, that was math back then. Divided by 2. Yeah, okay, I got it. Okay, got it. 100 kids, right? This is great. We know what the assignment is. We're not questioning. So what are we doing? So we know it. We already know that. Don't waste the time there. We got that. We told you. Flowers party. Right? Got that. So the thing is we're going, but if you don't go with us, God, we're not going to go. We'd rather just stay here until we have your presence, because we can't do this without you.
Amen.
And this is why. Somebody's going to shout. Might be Sister Valley. Verse 16. Why is this our position? Why are we checking in? Why are we saying, this is where I start crying. Why is it like, God, we can't move unless you're with us.
Yes.
We just can't do it.
I know.
Pastor and I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have gotten up this morning. I was like, Lord, we're so desperate for your presence.
Thank you.
To the point that I don't even know if I can tell them. how much we need your presence.
Amen.
And I know we're here, and this is me, and this is Pastor, and this is you, and all of us, like, we know what we're supposed to do, but we need your presence, and this is why. Moses said in verse 16, for how, this is what Moses said, he's talking to God, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in you? Can we put that verse up, guys? We're in verse 16. 33, verse 16. Moses said, thank you so much for putting that up. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? He's saying, if we don't have your presence, we'd rather stay here, because if we don't have your presence, how would it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So Moses is saying, the reason we need your presence with us is because if we get here, we're not going to look any different than people who have success in this world. All the people. See the end of that verse? Do you see that? All the people who are upon the face of the earth could look just like us. We can hold a harvest party. We could have 100 kids. We could have the town go, that's so nice. Sure. And we could get the, there you go, WFC. But what Moses is saying, if your presence is not with us,
yes,
then how? How will it be known? How would it be known to all the people who are upon the face of the earth? How are those people, what we call it, the world, right? How are all the people in Mount Kisco supposed to know that we are the people of God unless his presence is with us? Do you feel that? Do you see that? Do you understand? Are you grasping that? It's not, this is what moves us. This is why WFC has the anointing on it. Because it's like ukuleles with the presence of God. It's three young people. Who, and four young people, five young people, six young people waking up on Saturdays for Zoom lessons while you're all shopping and sleeping and having your coffee. There's like four or five kids on a Zoom call on Saturdays preparing their hearts, reading for 21 days. The young people here, these people, for 21 days reading a chapter of John every single day for 21 days. Sometimes together, they move their homework off here. They put their lesson over here. They do this, and they go, we're going to, they're doing it on their own. So on Saturdays, they're meeting with their youth leaders, and they're being prepared and encouraged and strengthened. Yay! Isn't that nice? Whoa, no, that's a move of God. Anybody remember enjoying as a teenager hungover? Don't raise your hand. And sleeping past 11 o'clock? Okay, our kids are not hungover. Our kids aren't on drugs here. Our kids are up on a Zoom call on a Saturday morning. Their parents have them in their house. They're not out at some stranger's house and the parents go, oh, Jesus, I just hope he didn't get arrested last night. I'm serious. The presence of God is upon them. He's moving on them. He's moving on you. He's moving on me. I know he's moving on you because you're playing a ukulele. That's a move of God.
Yes.
Some of you are like, oh, you have no idea how much this is a move of God. I mean, he is bringing things to your remembrance. He reminded you to get the bag of candy. You think that's silly? No. He's reminding you to read your Bible and stay full this fall because his presence is with us. And so we need to have his presence with us so that at each season of the harvest that we're assigned to go and pick and be a part of, the people who are upon, all the people who are upon the face of the earth will know that we are his people. They'll know that we have found grace in his sight. They'll know that we are separate from what they see in the world around them. And they'll say, I need that. I need that. How are we supposed to win the people today? How are young people supposed to fight what they hear in their school curriculum? How? You and I barely can get it out. We can barely defend our faith. And they've got stuff called CRT, and I'm on Facebook. They have very interesting curriculum with initials. And you're going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Ask a young person. They do. And we're expecting them to defend their faith. We have to be strong too. We've got to be ready too. Because why would our young people want what we have if we just look like the people on the face of the earth?
Come on.
Why? Why? I have been convicted in my heart. I don't want to look like the people on the face of the earth just so I don't offend someone. Do I want to offend someone? No. Have I changed some of my verbiage? Yes. Have I been incredibly aware of what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, and how it's coming across? Absolutely. Have I learned and grown and changed? Yes. But as I do, I'm checking in with the Holy Spirit. Is this the right thing? Did I say it this way? But I'm going to say something and someone's going to roll their eyes at me or get upset with me or I'm not going to quite get it right. I'll do better next time. But the point is I need to have his presence with me. Mm-hmm. We need to have his presence with us so that when we're doing what he tells us to do and grabbing on all those promises that he's told us, we go, all of his promises are yes and amen. And they are. And they're for you. Don't let them go. If you haven't looked at in your spirit, I'm almost done. I'm out of verses almost. Well, not. I could keep going, but I won't. If you haven't looked at the promise that you held on to last year, 5 years ago, 10 years, you know that one that you were like, I believe, I received when I prayed. You know that one? You know that one that you're like, I'm putting this before you, God, and I believe I have it now. In Jesus' name, it's mine. And you walked out of that service or that prayer time, and you're like, I've got it now. Praise the Lord. It's mine. Yeah. I sound like Elf. It's mine. You have to stay with me in Christmas time. You've got to watch Elf with me. I'm an absolute. I am not the person you see in the spirit right now when I'm watching Elf. I'm serious. We put Dad through the torture of me 1 year, once, with watching Elf. Abigail knows. She's like, hey, Mom knows all the lines. Okay. It's because I'm singing. You're my dad. Okay, never mind. Anybody ever? No, you all know. No, that's not. Okay, Miriam's like, oh, my goodness. Move on. Back of the spirit. What I'm saying is we need God. If you haven't looked at the promise, we did. We grabbed onto that. This is just a quick side thing that the Holy Spirit's trying to let you chuckle because it gives you a chance to breathe so we can hear and digest what comes next. And what it is you asked him for something, you believed him on something, you stood, you had your verse, you had it written down, you prayed with someone in agreement, you did all those moments of steps in faith, and somewhere along the way you're a little tired. Just go find it. Go find it. Go find it. Verses 1 through 6, the Israelites messed up horribly. Horribly. They made a cow out of gold. They did. They put something else gigantic in front of God. And God was still going to keep close to his promise and say, I'll still give it to you. But then he, on top of it, went above and beyond. He said, okay, and my presence will be with you. So I know we're talking about the harvest, and we are. But just this sidestep for you personally. Go find that. Find it in your heart. Where did I write it down? Where was I? Ask the Lord, was it this church? Was it that thing? Did I see it on television? Was I listening to this message? Find it in here. What was that promise that we were talking about? What was it, Lord? And let him speak to you. Let him bring it back up. He didn't change his mind.
Oh, yes.
Thank he you, didn't Lord. Change his mind.
Thank you, Lord.
My gracious. We didn't even build a cow out of gold. We didn't sell our gold and form a cow. They did. And he still was going to keep his promise.
Wow. Praise
and God. We have Jesus. our mediator. We have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth. We've got all of what Moses and the people did. We have the promise. We have the presence. We have more. We have Jesus. We have more. We have the Holy Spirit. Wow, we have double what they had. Because we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Whoa. And we're sitting here going, well, I'm not sure if he really meant what he said. No, he did mean what he said. He didn't change his mind. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. You don't know what I said. You don't know how I messed up. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know how I've undone that. God knows. God knows. Okay? And it didn't keep the people of God from obtaining the promise with his presence.
Hallelujah.
Don't let it go. 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 Please put verse 16 up again. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Here's our last verse for today. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also, verse 17, I will also, like, I'm going to do something else. He already said he was going to give them the promise. He said he was going to go with them with his presence. And Moses is going, and one more thing, make sure that all the people on the face of the earth know it's your presence. That's what he's saying. He's like, we can't move unless it's you're with us, because we need these people to know it. This is what God's saying to our church about the harvest party. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing. What thing? Make sure that all the people know that my presence is with you and you're my people.
Wow.
That's what God said. And I will also do this thing that you have spoken. Who spoke it? Moses spoke it.
Yes.
Wait, what? Look at it. The Lord said to Moses, I, the Lord, will also do this thing that you, Moses, have spoken. What did he speak? He's like, you need to make sure that these people know that your presence is with us.
Yes.
We've got that. We've got to have them know that we're your people.
Yes.
We have to look different than all the people on the face of the earth. And God goes, oh, and one more thing. I will also do this thing that you have spoken.
Right.
Whoa. And he says, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.
Yes.
Oh, God knows you by name.
Yes.
He knows you by your name. He knows you by your name. He could be blindfolded and he could go, Sharita. He could be blindfolded and he could go, Valley. He could be blindfolded and have no sight. And he could go, Ennis. He could do that.
Yes.
He knows. He could have never had sight. And he would be able to say, Jolene, my baby. He could do that. Because he knows you by name. Because
yes.
His presence is with you. I'm excited about the harvest party. I'm excited about what God is doing. I know that he's got this. Pastor knows that the Lord is moving. And we are not going to be moved. We are not going to be moved. We are not going to be moved. 19 and a half years ago when we started this church, the number we had for members of the church was 400. What? You never told us that. There, we told you. 400? Yeah. We always saw in here that Westchester Family Church would be 400. Always. 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 His presence is with us. And we're going to have 100 kids here. And if you don't know how to decorate your trunk, ask Miss Iris for some decorations. We're going to do it. I'm telling you, there's this cute little group called the Us Group. A bunch of women around here. We call ourselves the Us Group. It's us with God. We can help get things done. So guys, if you don't know how to decorate a trunk, we can do this. We can help you. Amen. Because the Us Group knows how to do it. They'll decorate. It's great. And if they can't do it, the kids will already have beaten them to it. We went bowling with a bunch of youth, and Reverend Ennis was like cracking up. We were like, the timer was like, you have 5 minutes left to bowl. And we adults on our lane were like, okay, like this. And we're like on like frame what, seven or whatever. We're like five. We're like, hurry up. And we're like, we're trying. The kids were 2.5 frames ahead of us.
Yes.
How? We all started at the same time. How do 4 young people get 2.5 frames ahead of 4 adults? They're going to be there. I'm telling you. It's so good. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Lord, we're so thankful for your word today. We really are so thankful, God, for your presence, Lord. We're so thankful, God, that you have given us a promise that we know you haven't taken away. You want this church to be in this community. You want this church to be big enough to make an impact, that the people in this community always have a place to come, always can find Jesus, always can find help in time of need, with people who know how to pray, people who know how to protect, people who know how to give help through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the assignment. And Lord, you've given us this assignment of the harvest party. You gave us September Fest. We did that. We're so grateful. And yes, we were showcased as the church that had something different. And the people, the officials, even told Pastor that they noticed it, to the degree, God, that you've miraculously opened up an invitation for December because of the ukulele. So we're so glad. This is all part of your plan. And Lord, we've got this in-between assignment of the harvest party. You told us to do this. This is an assignment that didn't go away. This is one that you didn't ask us to just put on the shelf, but you're telling us to do this. We thank you for that. We thank you for these children. We call the children in. We call the children in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We ask for your ministering angels to go forth and to bring the families, bring the children in to this harvest party. And we will be moving not only because of the promise you gave us, but in the presence. And when this community sees us in 2 weeks outside for that harvest party, they will know that we are your people. They will know that we are your people. They will know that we have Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that they too can come to the Father through him, because we are there. And we are going to follow your assignment, Lord. We're going to do what you tell us to do. We're going to decorate a car. We're going to have a bag of candy, Lord. We're going to do everything we can. It can be super simple and super spiritual and super effective. And we know, God, there are going to be families who are not just in the kingdom of God as a result, but they will be set free from drugs. We are speaking to the drug addict parents in the spirit realm right now. And we are speaking to them because we are your people, God. We have the authority of Jesus Christ on the inside. We have the Holy Ghost who shows us things to come, reveals supernaturally to us what needs to be done. And there is a family coming who is addicted to drugs, who will be set free. And we know they're going to have that chain broken off, and it's going to result in these kids and their family having a change. The whole trajectory of their family DNA is going to change because of this. Hallelujah. We call it as done. We know, Father God, that your presence is with us. And so, Father, we ask this week that you would just continue to reveal through your Holy Spirit, through your word, Lord, reveal to us how we take a step to go to the grocery store. We take a step to go get in our car. We take a step to go do our laundry or go make a cup of coffee. And we go, wait. We're going to do it, but we need your presence with us. We're not doing something until we know your presence is there. We may not see the cloud, that pillar of cloud physically, but we have it on the inside. We have the presence of God on the inside. And we'll take that step and we'll finish the step because we've got your presence and we know. So we're intentional. We are purposing in our hearts this week, Lord. We are your people. We're saying to you, God, we are your people. We're saying to you, God, I'm your daughter. I'm your son. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. We're going to accomplish what you tell us to do. But Lord, I'm asking on behalf of Pastor and this ministry leadership that your Holy Ghost supernaturally moves on this congregation so that the presence of God is as if they see a cloud, as if they see a cloud. Father, I'm asking everybody who hears this message here in person and on Facebook, God, that we would have this presence so real that it's almost as if we can't physically take take a step, until we know that we're in your presence and that you're with us. We are relying on you. We're depending on you. We need you, God. We need you more than ever. We need you more than ever, God, because all the people on the face of this earth are looking for something different. They're trying to be something different. They're trying to act some way different, and they need to see the real, the real, the real, the real, the truth. They need to see 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 the truth. Hallelujah. And they will see the truth through us. They will see the truth through this church. And Father, we know supernaturally the truth is going to draw people in. It's going to draw people in. It's going to draw people in. Hallelujah. And the reason we know it is because we, Westchester Family Church members here, we're going to know that it's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah. All the glory. Can you give him glory? Can you give him praise? Hallelujah. Can you just join me right now? Can you just open your mouth and say, God, we give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Let him speak through your heart right now. Let him speak through your heart. He's showing you something, saying something to you about his presence. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. Confess that before him. His promise doesn't change. His presence isn't going anywhere. Hallelujah. He's with you. He's with you. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching us on Facebook and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just need to say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, the Son of God. I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead, and I call upon him to be my Lord and Savior, and I'm your child in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you so much. We have a wonderful women's time. If you think this was great, you ladies have no idea what's in store for you here. You think it's just pretty, pretty, pretty. It is the fragrance of God. Woo! It's going to be so good. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. But before we do that, we're going to say our verse, our sending out verse. Hallelujah. Love this. This has actually saved some of our lives. Mm-hmm. This has kept us healthy and whole. We don't say this just because it's like, you know, something nice to do. We say this, we release our faith and cover you and cover us and speak. Let's say it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are dismissed. Tell someone you love them. Praise the Lord.